KVOE, live and local, presents City Commission Candidate Spotlights. Brought to you by the RV Dock, 618 Industrial. Repairs for your RV for over 26 years. Mel's Tire, 915 Graham Emporia, where service isn't expensive, it's priceless. And by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, the area's leading mortgage lender, NMLS number 424-226.
Welcome back to Candidate Spotlight. Chuck Samples on KVOE as we continue with our City Commission profiles. And today we have Ken Gardner, who is our first write-in candidate here for the election cycle, with the election coming up here November 4th. Ken, good morning. How are you today?
Oh, I'm great.
Good
to see you.
Well, good to have you in with us here today.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
What's I have to ask, what got you triggered and prompted to run here? Because, you know, a lot of times we don't have a full write-in campaign. So what triggered you to run, and what triggered you to go with the write-in route?
Well, I'm a real estate investor, and I've lived in many places in Kansas, actually. I've lived in Wichita, and I've lived in Manhattan, smaller towns like Wamego and Wakefield. And I had an eye on some property here and fell in love with it. Emporia is a really Goldilocks city. It has a really mellow vibe that I like, that's right in the middle. It's not too hot, not too cold. You have cities like Manhattan, which are too hot really right now. They have growing pains. They've gone over 55,000 in population. And with a population of 24,000, Emporia just has that real mellow feel, and I think the population reflects that.
I know a lot of times with our candidates earlier here in this cycle, we've asked about the business experience, the career experience, and you were right off the bat going into real estate investing. What was it about real estate investing that really kind of drew you to that particular business?
Well, it's the old adage, be your own boss.
That does help, doesn't it? Yeah.
It takes a while to get there, but you can get there. I had some crazy younger days and did wild things. I was always on track, though. You know, I was valedictorian in my high school class and went to a top 10 university, went to the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill, went into the military. I was on submarines in the Navy, and I got out. I had a 30-year career in technical sales. And then slowly but surely, you know, everybody gets tired of the grind. So the prospect of saving up a little bit and getting that first property and then two, three, maybe four, it's, you know, it's a great way to keep yourself busy after the kids are grown out of the house. Maybe for those people who can do it while they have kids, it's, you know, a great way to go.
You mentioned here about not only the real estate investing experience, but the fact that you've been in other places, and you've called already Emporia a Goldilocks community.
Mm-hmm.
How do you see your time in those other communities possibly helping you as a city commissioner if you're elected?
Oh, well, you know, I actually gave it a go in Manhattan a couple of years ago, and I was a write-in candidate there, and it gave me a lot of insight with the research into how the mechanics run. You always have your old guard, and they always get their certain number of votes. And, you know, I got a decent amount of votes by putting up signs and didn't run any radio ads, but I did send out mailers. And I just kind of got a feel with my first big time of going full bore as a candidate. They passed a law recently in Kansas, where the write-in candidate has to be acknowledged, and there can only be one. So that was a good way. I got in touch with Melissa Bruner at WIBW and explained to her that, you know, because I was by law the only write-in candidate, I suggested that she cover me, which was great because beforehand they had not. And I got my, you know, whatever, I got over 100 votes, which isn't great. But afterwards, I studied the numbers, and really the clustering of votes with the old guard, with the incumbents, is interesting to look at, because in Manhattan, it was just over 3,600. Well, you get three people who get close to exactly 3,600 votes. You start to get the impression that there's an organization behind that. And I found by researching that there was one church in town that had a congregation of exactly 3,600. Now, I'm not saying that's going on in Emporia, but if people want to get away from those kind of numbers, you look at the last election in Emporia, there were 1,300 votes for each of the winning candidates. Roughly, you're talking give or take 25 or 50 votes. Somebody in the congregation went astray.
That's what I look at it. Yeah.
Didn't get the sheep hook. But for the most part, you know, if people are unsatisfied with the way anything is in Emporia or don't feel that enough is being done to keep taxes low or to get enough jobs into the town or anything that's bothering them, you can, you know, rush the pews, so to speak, and put together enough votes for me as a write-in candidate. I have confidence in the intelligence and the free thinking of Emporia from what I've seen with the mix of people and the colleges here that I believe they can remember my name and write in Kenneth Gardner.
All right. Well, Ken, let's talk about some of the topics at play here. And we're going to start with property taxes because we're just, you know, few weeks removed from wrapping up the budgetary cycle here for the city, and a lot of conversation points periodically at the meetings and especially at the end about property taxes being too high. You know, there's a number of statistics that say that Emporia is maybe not at the top of property tax burden for cities its size, but it's close. Why do you see, at least from your vantage point, property taxes being as high as they are?
Well, it's always property taxes, right? I mean, it's always top of the list. When you price people out of housing, a lot of first-time home buyers are new to that whole escrow thing where, you know, the combination between property tax and insurance is going to add $200 or $300 a month to their home payment because it's all rolled in. And, you know, they see a house, say, like Brady Bunch house. We can all say, you know, the average dream house is in that $250,000 range. You have a lot of fix and flip houses, some of the old 1900s, mid-century cracker box houses that you could maybe pick up for $125,000 or $130,000, which are nice starter houses. But really, you know, mom and dad and a couple kids want that Brady Bunch house. So you look at right now, Emporia's paying between $3,500 to $4,000 a month, not a month, I'm sorry, annually for that. That's a couple grand every 6 months. That's two times a year. And when do those payments come due? At the least convenient time. You know, you talk about sitting down and writing a check for $2,000 when it's Christmas time or the holidays. And when in the second part of the year is it not the holidays, right?
Right.
So, you know, Emporia isn't really that bad. Again, it's back to the Goldilocks concept. When I was in Manhattan looking at $250,000 houses, they're paying upwards of $5,500 a year, which is ridiculous. I had a friend say, you know, and this is nothing derogatory against Manhattan, but they called it that greedy little town. I don't get that sense in Emporia. I think people are, even the people in power, are trying as hard as they can. Now, given the total numbers, you're talking about 40, 45 mil. You know, a mil is a tenth of a percent. So you're talking about 4.5% taxes versus like 5.56% in Manhattan. And the same being said in Wichita, which if you're going to pay that kind of dollar to live somewhere, you don't want the crime that you have in Wichita. And the crime is sneaking into Manhattan. And the roads are going downhill. So I haven't seen a bad road in Emporia yet, but I'm sure they exist. But I think we're striking a good balance and you know, definitely keeping those low as incentives for incoming companies. If you price people out of housing, they can't come for the jobs. They can't stay for the jobs. And so you reach this kind of push and pull of the line there. And I think we're right on that line. We can go up very easily. Yeah. We're on the edge of greatness here in Emporia. I can see it. And I think we're in a breakout. We're dominating the south central part of the state. Companies like Amazon have put in logistics sites, shipping sites into Salina. And that's mainly because they've fleshed out the distribution center at the airport. in connection with the actual warehouse space. Now, we have Hopkins here, which went out of business, and you've got a big factory floor there. It's being held by some private equity firm, and it's a new type of real estate, which is called industrial storage space. And in other words, it's parked in mothballs. It's not really being used for anything productive, but it's only a few miles north of the airport. If we could get together with the RDA, the Regional Development Association, and say, hey, you know, let's build the pipeline, let's build the infrastructure from the airport to the old Hopkins plant or something similar, we can get Amazon in here, we can get other big companies, you know, we might even get some data center companies in here. So I hope that answers your question. I know I talked a little bit long.
I'm double checking here. I hadn't seen Hopkins going out of it. I know First Brands had been going for bankruptcy here, and I'm double checking here to make sure about that. When it comes to, and I wanted to ask you a question here about the work of the city with potential partners, the county, Emporia School Board, and also Emporia Recreation Commission, because there had been a joint task force had been proposed by the city.
Mm-hmm.
To possibly start looking at some ways to drive down property taxes. And right now the city looks like it's on board with that. The remaining partners are waiting for their own reasons. Do you think that was at least a good step to reach out and bring those potential partners on board with the conversation? Or at this point in time, is the city needing to go on its own and maybe try to work out property taxes on its own accord?
Oh, I think partnerships are always good. I mean, you know, the RDA is basically the supersized version of what used to be the old Chamber of Commerce, and Chamber of Commerce is still around. But when you get people who can move big numbers on major projects and work in hand in hand with the city, it's always good because, you know, you want to avoid the boutique little organizations that essentially just become more sewing circles. You know, you can have... And this is nothing against organizations like Pride or Grow This or Grow That. You know, up in Wakefield, they've got Grow Clay County. And it's basically just people getting together for lunch, really, at the end of the day. Well, you know, there's so few people, and they talk for a long time, and secondhand stories become rumors. You know, just the other day, I saw an email. You know, somebody said in the Grow Clay County meeting that the school's shutting down in Wakefield and don't believe it. And, well, you know, when you don't have a newspaper in town, when you don't have a really clear-cut, reliable source of information to get out what these organizations are doing. But we've got all of that in Emporia. We've got large organizations which are covered by the paper. We've got a mainstream pipeline of information where everybody's on board. And when information starts to move faster, then we can, you know, do really significant things like rein in taxes right to that line where we are. You know, the population decline is very low. You go into Wikipedia, you Google any town and go into its Wikipedia geographic section, and you see the attrition. I hate to say it, but people dying, people leaving. You know, Kansas is being eaten alive around the margins, but you don't see that in Emporia. You look at the numbers now that the RDA has put out, and they've got some really good statistics there. We're holding the line on population. So to do things like trim or hold steady the property taxes is a really big deal.
Really quickly here, how can the city maybe reduce its property taxes? Or do you really think that at this point in time that the city needs to just kind of maintain where it's at right now and maybe do some additional study for later on?
Well, it comes down to big projects like the roads and pet projects. You know, things start to go sideways in a certain area and everybody wants to put up a mural. You know, we want to contract some artist for $500,000 to put up a mural. Well, a mural looks good for a while, but it's latex paint on brick and mortar, and eventually it gets faded, and then it doesn't look so good. And then we think, you know, could we have used that $500,000 maybe to come up with some other community action programs or put it in towards the food harvest place. What was that place
Abundant
called?
Harvest, yeah.
Yeah, Abundant Harvest, because, I mean, these guys went out of business, and now they're back in business, where you have in places like Wichita and Manhattan where these become rescue missions. We haven't gotten to the point where this becomes a rescue mission. You know, you have a lot of families on the edge. At least they have a car to drive over there and get the food in the back of the SUV. At least they have a place to go home to and eat the food. In Manhattan, Wichita, other places like Topeka and Kansas City, these guys have to go back under the bridge and eat that food, and that's not pretty. But what they've done is they've brought in support systems. They've realized that they need the mental health auxiliaries. They've gotten all the mental health auxiliary organizations there where they can get somebody clean and sober. You know, we're feeding people right now. The day's going to come when we're going to need people to get clean and sober before they can stay in an emergency shelter. We haven't even provided housing yet. We're still struggling with just providing food. So pet projects, big projects.
Gotcha. On the rescue mission point, one of the things that we've broadcasted here is with Abundant Harvest, kind of separate from the rescue mission, the same organization with the board overseeing both, and the rescue mission board has at least branched off and apparently is focusing on strictly the rescue mission. And this is not the topic that we had planned on going into. But before we take our break, let's address this to a degree, because you mentioned here about the city and with United Way partnering to get the Abundant Harvest operations through the rest of the year. And again, this is off of our original topic here of property taxes, but since the topic is there, do you have any concerns about the city and United Way's operations agreement maybe continuing beyond the end of the year for Abundant Harvest specifically, if no other partners either come forward or if an agreement isn't reached here by the end of the year?
Well, it's always a concern. You know, the answer, of course, is continued conversations. And you saw the community really step up in a big way. And, you know, the city's happy to spend money if it means keeping people above board. Because when they're not above board, then you get crime. Then you get theft out of bare necessity. You get substance abuse out of stress. You know, it's very stressful to sleep outside. And so you get people who are on the margin and who are holding it together, and suddenly they're not going to hold it together. Are they going to choose food, or are they going to choose, you know, a quart of liquor from down at the liquor store? And then everything, the wheels fly off the bus at that point. And you start to see that margin in Manhattan and Wichita, where it's right on the edge with the crime report. If you read the police board, you see it. And I don't see that in Emporia yet. That's the first telltale sign. So, of course, the city is going to want to suppress that by creating and continuing these programs just to keep people out of the police blotter.
Ken Gardner joining us here again with our candidate spotlight. Our second segment after this on KVOE Live and Local.
Make the educated choice when it comes to your vote. Emporia State Federal Credit Union is the sponsor of this year's Candidate Spotlight. These one-on-one interviews give you a chance to hear the thoughts of each candidate as they relate to the pressing issues affecting our community. Then be sure to head to the polls on Tuesday, November 4th to make your voice count. Emporia State Federal Credit Union, with two convenient locations in Emporia, is here for all your financial needs.
This is Allison of Mel's Tire. We offer a full line of Yokohama tires. Yokohama Geolander AT4, Yokohama Geolander MTG003, and the Yokohama Avid Ascend LX. So whether you're on or off-road, Yokohama tires will get you where you're going safely. And while you're here for tires, we can service your vehicle as well. Our experienced certified staff can handle repairs, including brakes, shocks, tune-ups, alignments, and more. Mel's Tire, 915 Graham, your Yokohama dealer. Where service isn't expensive, it's priceless.
The RV Doc is ready to winterize your RV or fifth wheel. Don't get caught with frozen water lines when the RV Doc is here to help. He'll drain and blow out the lines, as well as remove water filters and add antifreeze. Now is also a great time to take care of any other repairs that may need done. Call the RV Doc for an appointment today. 342-0702, 342-0702, and get winterized.
Candidate Spotlight continuing here on KFUE. Ken Gardner, our guest, our write-in candidate here for the Emporia City Commission slots that are available here for the general election. There is three positions available here for the Emporia City Commission, and we're in the process of interviewing all the City Commission candidates here for this election cycle here as we push closer to that November 4th general election date. Our first segment, we had a chance to talk about property taxes, also diving into the Abundant Harvest Rescue Mission and City/United Way operation side of things. And now we get to talk about the RDA, Regional Development Association of East Central Kansas, which has been to a certain degree in flux for a while. The permanent president position opened really from late January, early February of last year to this point. There's also been the restructuring of the board, the membership that's been in place over the last several months. Can I get to ask you here is thinking about how this is all unfolded here. Do you see the search for a permanent president kind of at an appropriate spot, especially given the changes that have happened with the board makeup and the board structure over the last several months?
Well, again, Chuck, I want to thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
And we're glad to have you in.
It's a great opportunity. People say the write-in candidate never wins, but I'm hoping to change that. So I'll address your question. The Regional Development Association, as it stands, is a great thing. We're always going to find somebody to run it. It's just a matter of finding the right expertise and talent. And I don't see the change-ups as a sign of dysfunction in any regard, because the mission and the concept is continuing to grow. It's an outgrowth of the Chamber of Commerce, and it still works well with the Chamber of Commerce. These are people who have connections in the field. They have experience in the field, and they get together and they talk to each other regularly. A lot of times, the fact that they disappear is the fact that they've been recruited and taken elsewhere. You know, we took somebody's big guy from Manhattan, and somebody's going to take our talent because, you know, quite frankly, it's big money. And RDA is there to take on the major projects. Mm-hmm. Their site is plastered with the companies that they brag about bringing in and maintaining here. And that's all because of the incentives and grants for that. So there's just a lot of continuing, ongoing hard work. And whether, you know, the ball is passed off at the goal line or, you know, something else happens, the fact is that the ball game continues. And it's all about winning more jobs for Emporia.
The restructuring side of things with ESU, Flint Hills Technical College, I believe getting – they are on the board as de facto – members, but mm-hmm. They got voting membership here, mm-hmm. Expanding the membership, I believe, for the Chamber and Emporia Main Street. Do you think those were good moves for the restructuring process, or do you believe that the restructuring as it came out was needed here for the RDA?
Well, I don't know about need, but I do think it's a good thing because, of course, these educational organizations have their finger on the pulse of where the talent's going to come from. I mean, I believe I saw the stat that more than half of the graduates from these local schools stay here. We don't have the greatest freshman continuation rate at 19%, but, you know, that's not necessarily a negative because those are people who went to college from here, decided college wasn't for them. Maybe they gave it. And that happens to a lot of people. They try college. They were great students in high school. Mm-hmm. Maybe some of you, even your higher achieving students, and you know, most likely they're going into a technical trade. Maybe their dad did HVAC and they decided they didn't want the family business, or you know, their dad owns an oil company, or their mom. So you look at the stats for the talent and the young talent that's coming out of these organizations and really what they can provide to the businesses that are going to come here, and we need them as guidance. We need them as, you know, really people who can make the recommendations on where the trends are going. Things, majors change, trends change. You look at, you know, 6 months ago, the Magnificent Seven, Tesla, and AI, and every day they're talking about, is this going to last? Is it going to last? And today they're talking about is exploding. Mm-hmm. People cheering against Tesla. That's crazy. I don't know what they're talking about. But then all of a sudden, the stocks roared back. I think really people made money off of that.
May well have, yeah.
But to answer your question, it was a great move. The more input we can get from people who are in the know, you know, the Chamber of Commerce is on the board. You get Emporia State, which has the nursing program that ties in with not only keeping the regional hospital up to snuff, but bringing the jobs into Stormont Vale. You're going to have that ongoing, and you know, who knows the end of that? I won't say infinite, but who knows how long Emporia State is going to be providing technical nursing expertise to Stormont Vale with all the innovation that's going to come out with that and AI.
Yeah, and then, you know, with the pipeline that's already established with Newman Regional Health, both for ESU and the Tech College, both with their programs that they have.
Exactly.
You know, you look at the business sectors that the RDA has targeted, and you could, you know, I think obviously you look at value-added stuff on the food side, specifically when it comes to pet food. Mm-hmm. But just in general terms, you know, the size of the business, mid-market, maybe larger size businesses. Do you see the RDA needing to continue in those maybe two sizes specifically, or do you see the RDA needing to maybe start focusing its efforts on other business sectors, like maybe entrepreneurs? You mentioned here AI, you know, more of a technology-driven based focus here for the RDA going forward.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it could be. We always look at the top end because that's where the big money is, and most of your industries are built around bulk right now. You have the railroads, which tie in. You know, let's face it, this is the railroad town in Kansas. And the reason that the pet food companies are doing so well and other food companies are doing so well is because we can get it here in bulk and get it out fast. Your technical companies may not be that attuned to that kind of infrastructure, but certainly your distribution companies like Amazon. Now, I saw a statistic where 54% of businesses right now in Emporia are your home businesses, your employees 1 to 4. You know, that's somebody who's gone out to get an LLC probably for tax purposes, or a small-time real estate investor who wants to structure their business. But who's to say, and, you know, we know they are going to grow. And that's something that RDA can look at in terms of an innovation center, you know, a tech innovation organization. Those are all things that'll come by, you know, by the wayside. I hate to say trickle down because that's such an unpopular, outdated term. But the truth is, you know, if everybody's doing well, you know, then everybody's going to do well.
Yeah. Back to the president position here. What traits do you see that would serve a new RDA president well? And from your perspective, are you seeing the maybe the RDA board focused on the perfect candidate as opposed to maybe somebody who's good for the city, and then maybe adjusting the framework or like the organizational framework around the candidate as opposed to finding somebody who is perfect for the role?
Yeah, sure. All of that could happen. I mean, you have areas of expertise like logistics. You have logistics that run into trains. You have airplanes. You have your road transport, trucking, and somebody who's, you know, a real hotshot in that, who maybe doesn't know the really finer technical aspects of AI or computers. All of that's going to come together. So I think it's going to be somebody from the top who's been in logistics, centered around agriculture, who is taking some continuing education courses or has had some direct experience already with AI from the proprietary software that their company has brought in. But to land somebody like that is going to take a lot of attraction. It won't necessarily be a pay package, which, you know, we can afford if they produce and, you know, provide the services that we need. Because those are all get, you know, paid for in the end by production and profit. You're looking at, you know, incentives and grants to bring in the companies. Above logistics, I think you might have people who are too esoteric. You've got somebody who could be an ag salesman who's going out on the ground, who knows Kansas geographically like the back of their hand and knows the companies. Those guys go out there and they cold call a farmer. It's not that easy to walk down a road, knock on somebody's door, look at their operation and say, hey, you know, you need this, you need this, you need this. You need an automated tractor. You need these seeds that are genetically engineered. You need to put this boundary around your fields and mm-hmm. this new drainage system. That kind of person who's, you know, been in middle level or high level sales management, an account manager type, would really be the best tactile candidate, I believe.
Okay. Well, Ken, our time's running short. In case people would like to learn more about your campaign, mm-hmm. your effort, your goals and objectives here as a city commissioner, how do they get that information from you?
Listen to my ads. You probably see my signs around town. I did have a website registered, but it got hijacked for more of my political writings. So it's not really attuned to general election.
Understood.
Right now.
Understood. But so look for your information out about town. Best way to do it?
You can Google Kenneth Gardner for city commissioner. And, you know, I might just register a new domain name and get it up and running today. I appreciate you reminding me about that. About that.
There's a lot of work to do as a city commission candidate, isn't there?
We're getting rolling. We got 4 weeks, and I hope people will get behind me, and I really appreciate your opportunity.
Absolutely. Well, we appreciate you coming in and putting your name out there for the community.
Thanks so much.
Ken Gardner joining us here on the Candidate Spotlight. You're listening to KVOE Live and Local.
Emporia City Commission Candidate Spotlights on KVOE has been brought to you by Emporia State Federal Credit Union, the area's leading mortgage lender, NMLS number 424226. Mel's Tire, 915 Graham Emporia, where service isn't expensive, it's priceless. And by the RV Dock, 618 Industrial, repairs for your RV for over 26 years. KVOE, live and local.